I appreciate all of you. Please let's stay in prayer. Wednesday morning, we pray here. We actually officially are doing it from 8 until 9, but we will be here a little earlier than that, 7:30, because we're just going to, we just need people to begin to pray. It's something that we haven't done. It's something we've been slack on. But we are going to start at 7:30. A lot of people can't get here till 8. That's fine. We don't mind if you don't get here till 8:45. The reality is that there are so many people who are unemployed. You haven't got work. You are actually effectively doing nothing. So this is giving... Am I thinking out loud again, Don? I know I do it from time to time. I wonder if I just did it then. Oh, okay. So, you know, sometimes you just have to evaluate the fact that you're doing so little. So, all right, let's... Before we go any further, I hope that Daniel can... Daniel, I can't see you. Are you up there? Ah, I wonder if we got that picture of that little fella from India. Two little fellas or 2 minutes. Is that what you're telling me? I just want to encourage you that sometimes we forget. My daughter Alice is in India again. Now, she's been there. She first went when she was 14. She went back about 4 years ago for 3 months. During that time, you may remember, my dear friend Augustine was killed in a car crash. Alice was in the back seat of the car at that time. Very traumatizing for all of us. He was a very precious, precious friend of mine. It really was heartbreaking for me and for all who knew him. Then Alice went again for another time for 3 months. Then she, with her sister Grace, well, she went to India for 2 months and Thailand for 1 month. And now she's there again for just over 2 months. I want to encourage you. You do not understand what that means, most of you. You don't understand what it means to be in another country, keep changing beds, changing towns, changing leaders, changing people who are in charge, changing diets, changing restaurants. It is a lot more difficult than anybody can comprehend. So please pray for her. Please. And then there's always the unexpected. The budget changes, the finances. You're not sure how this, that, and the other is going to come from. So these things are very important. Please keep her in prayer. She's doing fantastic. I don't know if you heard, she wrote in her email how she got the whole worship school filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesied over all of them. And then, did I tell you this last time? The guy at the back said, "Are you Vaughn's daughter?" And it wasn't because of what she looks like, because Alice does think she looked like me, but it was because the guy recognized the way she preached and prophesied, because he was a friend of Augustine's and had met me once before. I want to encourage you in these things, because there are definite impartations that are available that we can begin to tap into. And I want to say this, there is no casual impartation. There's got to be an engaging. There's got to be on the edge of your seat if you want the osmosis side of the Holy Spirit. There is that side of the Holy Spirit that you can't do the math on, that you get it. So I want to encourage you on, all of you on that. Is the picture here? There he is. That's the little fella that our church is financing, is helping to sponsor. The full sponsorship of an... Now, remember, he's severely handicapped. Alice has held him several times. He cannot even hold his own head up, even though he's between 3 and 4 years old. Most of these children, nobody actually knows, because they've all been abandoned. You know, they're found at the side of the road. They're found in dumpsters and in boxes and things like that. I'm saying it quickly. I often do. So the reason we picked him was very obvious. His name is Asher. Well, my son's name's Asher. My grandson's name is Asher. Hello. I had the choice of picking one, so I picked Asher. Praise God. Remember the offering we took to India before I went last trip? That has actually taken care of our sponsorship for him for many months. But just want to let you know, this little guy is kind of one of the King's Fire kids. Can you say amen? So we thank God for him. Hallelujah. Okay, I got a lot to share. I felt as I came up this morning, as Josh already said, I was, you know, down now. I was running a little late, actually. was then we're watching the children. The children were just fascinating. Please avail yourself to help the children's ministry. You may not feel qualified to do it. One of the greatest decisions I ever made in the ministry was when my pastor at the time, Ernie Fink, asked me to coach the children at the Christian school. I've never been a coach. I've been a sportsman all my life, but I've never been a coach, and I didn't know how to coach gym. Nevertheless, I took it on, praise God, and for the first several weeks, it was absolute murder. I mean, I felt like I was living on Elm Street, hallelujah. And it was just a terrible situation. The first class, I know, I told some of you, of course, one of the guys broke his wrist and I sent him back to his class for being a wuss. That's a long story. And the next day when he walked in with a cast on his arm and his mother, it was really one of the great days of my life. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he does actually raise you up if you believe it. But what I'm saying that to say this, I was not qualified. I didn't know what I was doing. But in the end, I became the most popular guy in the whole church because I was the coach. All the kids loved the coach because God, with his grace and mercy, taught me how to do it and how to communicate with the children. And those children still love me to this day. And one of the reasons is, and one of the reasons why we are not doing what we should be doing for God is from a lack of fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. I'm going to talk about fellowship this morning, and it's going to be a broad subject, but I'm going to try and narrow it down in the end. So if we could start by understanding, first thing I want to say is as I came up the stairs, I heard what I thought was the word of the Lord this morning. And that was from Annette when she was prophesying about what? Does anybody remember? Take time to sit with God. So there I thought, praise God, that's what I was hearing. And then, of course, at the end of the meeting, Joshua starts talking about standing in faith and standing in God. And so I'm going, okay, here we go. You know, one saying sit, one saying stand. So then, anybody here ever heard of Watchman Nee? If you've heard of Watchman Nee was a great teacher, Chinese, great persecution, but a great teacher. And one of his most famous books, if you haven't heard, was called Sit, Walk, Stand. Have you heard of that? Well, Rich and Diane are there. Sit, walk, stand. Because at the beginning of the book of Ephesians, it's talking about being seated in heavenly places. Then in the middle of the book of Ephesians, it's talking about walking circumspectly. And at the end of the book of Ephesians, it talks about standing. So, you know, these are things that we must understand. That Jesus, you know, that many times he stood in the place of authority, but he ended up seated at the right hand of God. But when Stephen was murdered, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You see what I'm saying? So, in other words, when do I sit, when do I walk, and when do I stand? This is why we need fellowship. Because if you only have a doctrine, you're never going to know. You're never going to know when it's time to sit, walk, or stand if all you have is just what the Lord showed me this week. I think my wife at the home group talked about going into Lowe's. And how there's everything you need for a home in Lowe's. There's nothing not there. You can build a fabulous house from everything they've got in Lowe's. The only trouble is it needs an architect and a wise master builder. Minor detail. And we as living stones are likened to being a bunch of people in racks at Lowe's. Hallelujah. That we need to be put together a spiritual house. Isn't that what the scripture talks about us? Right. So now me, being as I'm not a great lover of building, but I'm lover of another subject, walk into Hannaford's, and to me it's the same thing. If you walk into Hannaford's, there's all the ingredients for a slap-up dinner, but I'm not a chef. You see, and what I'm saying is Hannaford's has the ingredients, but you need a cook. Now, and some cooks are just cooks. Like yesterday, we had a great time up at Joshua and Elaine's, some volleyball and all that good stuff. And my Wendy, just quickly, when we got the invite in the afternoon, she threw together some cornbread. Did anybody eat the cornbread from yesterday? Norm, you're nodding. You should be raising your hand because you were one of the great fans of it. Anyway, and so I'm saying this is, how did she make it? Well, we were entertaining. Jane Petzer was with us at a time. So without missing a beat, puts the phone down when we get the invite. And then she's still talking to Jane because that's what she, you know, we've been hospitable. And in the meantime, she's throwing together. She's opening this, pouring that, shaking this, doing. I didn't even know what she was doing. I'm just watching going, what are you doing? Because I didn't even know what was going on, you know. And in the end, booyah, out it comes. And there is this great cornbread on one side of the tray. What was on the other side? And brownies. Okay. Now, for many years, I don't know about you, anybody like just wandering around in Barnes & Noble, you know, grabbing a cup of coffee, wandering around, looking on me, I like looking at the clearance table. Guess what books I look for? Travel books. I'm always looking for travel books. When the travel books are on sale, ooh, I'll pick that one up, you know. So, but some of the most beautiful books ever in print, in my opinion, are cookbooks. Not just for the food, but for the photography. The photography is outstanding. And the amount of times I've picked up a cookbook and say, Wendy, look at this. Look, can I buy this for you? You know, it's a $7 book, you know, $7 on clearance. It was $55. No, I don't need it. And I've always wanted to buy these beautiful colors. You don't need it. You see, she's such a good cook. She doesn't have to borrow somebody's recipe. So I'm saying that to say this. This book that we all love is only the ingredients. It's only the ingredients. And you got to understand, it is not enough to have ingredients. If you've only got ingredients, you are in legalism. You are in judgmentalism. Churches that only have the book don't have the life that the book is talking about. So this is why I want to encourage you about fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship, koinonia, it means an impartation. It means a sharing, a partnership. Right? Like marriage, like a good business, like a good friendship, like a good church. And we talk about fellowship. And afterwards, we go downstairs to the cafe and we have coffee and bagels and we call it fellowship. It actually isn't. We're socializing. Now, I understand we're getting to know each other and trying to make it a little easier and trying to, you know, knit our hearts together in love. But we're actually only fellowshipping, actually socializing. And we must differentiate between socializing and fellowship. Now, so many people I know, and in fact, some of you are here this morning, you can socialize for hours, hours. And, you know, you're on the phone for hours socializing. But you're almost never in fellowship. Almost never in fellowship. Is there an impartation? Are you really partaking of other people's lives, of other people's experience, of other people's anointings, of other people's wisdom? Or are you just a direct line to God dude? I want to remind you, Jesus was not crucified on a post. He was crucified on a cross. Because of this, without this, is not a cross. So our fellowship, and let me read it to you. In fact, Daniel, I think the first scripture would be appropriate right now. I just want you to look at this. This is out of 1 John. We got a problem? You didn't get the email. Oh. All right, mate. I was having a problem this morning. Okay, 1 John 1, verse 3. 1 John 1, verse 3. And praise God. Look what it says. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his son, Jesus Christ. So there we have three fellowships. That we have seen, that we have handled. I'm a witness of the resurrection. Are we okay with that statement? I'm a witness of the resurrection. I saw what it was like for a sinner at 29 years old with absolutely no religious affiliation or desire whatsoever on November the 4th, 1978, become a saint because of the resurrection. Do you understand what I'm saying? I witnessed that. You weren't there. I was. I was there when it happened. And that's what these guys are saying. They're saying, we were there when it happened. And I don't know about you, Pastor Don, all the other people. It doesn't matter whether you were raised in church or what. Somewhere along your line, surely you've witnessed the resurrection. Young John Walker witnessed the resurrection standing right here a few weeks ago when he was suffering from headaches from a serious, almost fatal injury to his head when a 30-pound rock caved his head in and suffered all those years. And yet a few weeks ago, he witnessed the resurrection right there when he was healed permanently. Can you say amen? You see what I'm saying? I'm a witness of the resurrection. I have seen, I have handled the word of life. And now what am I saying? Why don't you come to our home group? Why aren't you hanging around with me? Why aren't you asking me about what I know? I tell the story about the guy over there in Mozambique who drove for 4 hours from Beira until we got to the Zimbabwe border. 4.5 hours he drove. And this man is taking over ministry from a really respected missionary, yet he never asked me one question. That astounded me. It astounded me. He never asked me one question. I've been in the ministry 34 years. I've walked the earth 63 years. I have 5 children. I have a great marriage. I've been with the same woman for 38 years. I have children who are preaching in the nations of the world. And I don't have any debt. So I'm just trying to say, you don't have one question for me, young man? There's not one thing that you may think that I can actually add to your life? As the scripture says, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And so this astounds me. It astounds me why people are not hanging around with Joshua, why they're not hanging around with Gary, why they're not hanging around with the home group leaders, not hanging around. It astounds me. I think, so really you only want to socialize. You don't want to fellowship. Or do you doubt that our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ? I think there's very little room for that doubt. I think there's very little room. So let's go to the next one, which is 1 Corinthians 1:9. Daniel's very good at this, and sorry the email didn't come through. So it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I just want you to see right there, so far I've dealt with three fellowships. Fellowship with us, fellowship with God the Father in the last verse, and twice now it talks about fellowship with Jesus. Amen? Now, I say this, and you'll have to forgive me because I realize that, you know, my own testimony, or maybe my own gifting, hasn't always helped you. Yeah. Like I have often said, I never memorize scripture. And what I want to say is, you should, because you didn't preach as much as I did. That's how I memorized the scriptures. You see, when I first got saved, I started preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And you better believe I was reading and praying and speaking in tongues and doing everything I could and praising and worshiping and in fellowship. And the word of God stuck because I was in fellowship with it. Let me give you a scripture on that one. Let me help this. Are we doing okay? Okay. Go to Philippians 1:5, Daniel. You see, fellowship, koinonia, partnership. You give some, I give some. For your fellowship, what? in the gospel. Your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, that's kind of my testimony. My fellowship was in the gospel because I was preaching. I've often told you the story, you know, that I got invited. I really only started going around the world with three or four sermons, and then I got invited to preach for 1 week in one church on one subject, praise. And so I had a sermon on praise, and I could bend another one out of it. But it turned out I had to preach 7 or 8 or 9 sermons that week on one subject. You want to believe I was fellowshipping the gospel? Can you hear what I'm saying? I was fellowshipping in it. And the reason, so many things in my life, the reason why an impartation came into my life is because I was desperate. Revelation of provision. Yeah. You know, you're in a foreign country, no money, no addresses, no finances. Desperate. And fellowship has a different word meaning. It has a different meaning. Suddenly you realize, I need a fellowship with the Father. I need a fellowship with Jesus. I need a fellowship in the gospel. I need a fellowship with people who know more than me. I need a fellowship. But, you know, I don't know, what do you need? I'm not sure what you need. What do you need? I don't know. We've, you know, thank God we live in a great country. You know, maybe you don't have a job, even though you're not there on Wednesday mornings. And you don't have a job, but we do have welfare and social security and unemployment. Thank God. Of course, you don't get that in India or everywhere else. And we do have Medicare and Medicaid. And do I have to keep on? See, there's no desperation. We don't have to fellowship with God. We don't have to find out. We don't have to get answers because, and then suddenly, when there is a dilemma, when there is a trauma, booyah, you're now desperate for fellowship and you're out of practice. You know, it's like playing basketball when you haven't been to the gym for 6 years. Someone's going to run rings around you, and it's going to be the other team. And the other team is called darkness. Because there's only two teams in this game. Light and darkness. Which is why Jesus was very specific. And Paul was very specific. Don't have any fellowship with the work of unfruitful darkness. Right? Now, you know. Are we doing okay? I can see an interest in your eyes, and I'm actually very thankful. All right, my buddy, where was I? Oh, let's go to Ephesians 3:9. Nah, this is a beaut. Because there's... And make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Fellowship of the mystery, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, remember we just talked, we called it a mystery. Now we're calling it the manifold wisdom of God, may be known by the church to the guys on the other team. Can you see this? It's very clear to me. Maybe, you see, there's principalities and powers, and they're on the other team. And they practice more than you do. I mean, they can do all these no-look passes. They've got three-pointers up their sleeves. And what do we got to fight against them? Well, I don't know. We don't go to the gym. We don't fellowship with the team. That your fellowship may be with us. And what does it say? That the manifold wisdom, which we just heard called a mystery, the manifold wisdom may be known by the church, not an individual. But you can't dig into the manifold wisdom of the church if you're not in fellowship with the church. Which includes the Word. It includes the Father. and it includes the Son, and it includes those who have witnessed the resurrection. We're doing good, eh? Good stuff. This God stuff, right? Okay. Now, let's go to... Don't do that. Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. This is a beaut. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now, this is the first time we've kicked that third member of the Godhead in. We've talked about the Father, the Son. We've talked about the leadership, the church. But now we talk about, I don't know whether to say the most vital. And the reason I'm saying this, as we all know, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those who walk, because they've been sitting with and standing on, we doing okay. I'm understanding what I'm saying, but I don't want to be losing people, especially this dude in the front with the nice tie. I like that tie. I like it. Proud of you, John. There's another guy who witnessed the resurrection. Right? I'm not saying you haven't. I'm only like getting a few examples, you know what I'm saying? So you can fellowship with him. It's easy because he never shuts up talking about Jesus. Have you ever fellowshipped with my buddy, my running buddy from Kenya? No, we're not up for election. Somebody got it. Running buddy. Joseph. Just get him going, man. We're on the way home from the prayer meeting. Oh, did he mention prayer meeting again? We're on our way home from the prayer meeting Wednesday. And there's an accident. It looked quite serious. We're stuck. And I'm stuck in a car with him. Now, we're not talking about what the heck's going on. The Yankees or... He starts talking. And he's like, he's just going for it. He's talking about Jesus. And then he starts singing. He starts singing in Swahili and singing in English. And he's keeping the beat in my car while we're just having fellowship in the Spirit. Not in the gospel. Come on, folks. We're not actually having fellowship as per se with the Father. Are you going to stay with me on this thought? Or with Jesus. We're not discussing the gospel. We're having fellowship in the Spirit. I couldn't shut him up. He's singing until eventually they clear the wreck. Took about 15 minutes. Go back to my place. You want a cup of tea, Joseph? You want some breakfast? Oh, Pastor, yeah. And we go in there and I'm putting the kettle on, putting the toast in. He's singing. Fellowship in the Spirit. You see, we sing in the Spirit and we sing with our understanding. We pray in the Spirit and we pray with our understanding. That's the fellowship of the Spirit. And that's what we're not used to. That's what we got to practice. That's what we've got to keep the ingredients in a place. You see, ultimately, I don't know how to explain this. I told, remember when we had our flood in 05, right? Those of you around, it was traumatic. Right? It wiped my house out and it wiped the church out. The church was so wiped out because it took out in the crawl space, we didn't know, there was a fuel tank that wasn't empty. So the fuel oil soaked into all of the building. So you could smell the building from my house. Josh, remember when you came over, the smell was brutal, wasn't it? Terrible. And it was just, and we just didn't know what to do. All I remember, the thing I'll never forget is one of the elders of the church left. I never saw him again. Most astounding thing. It's still a mystery to me. What kind of fellowship was that guy in? That when there's trauma, he disappears. Oh, it was stunning. I'm only saying this to give you an idea of what do you call fellowship. Ultimately, all he was doing was socializing with us, really. But he was a good guy, nice guy, calm guy. He loved the word and all the rest of it. But anyway, praise God. Why was I telling you about the flood? Oh, the trauma. Yeah. So our whole house, which had 54 inches of freezing water in it, Daniel and I had to wade through it to try and rescue some things. It was April. Snow melt. Remember the rain caused the snow to melt? So the temperature of the water was incredibly cold. And I've never known hypothermia before. And to actually be blue. You know, when you're in cold water up to your chest, that's dangerous. And, you know, most other people would have been. Anyway, it's not the point. That was a Gerald joke. Stay with that one, will you? And so, even when you're heels. So you could have been making the beans, girl. We would have been something to warm us up afterwards. You know, everyone's got a place. Don't panic. And there's another one who knows how to turn ingredients into good food without a book. You know what I'm saying? You see, there is no book to be led by the Spirit. There is no book. And this is the problem. You can't read a book on being. I'm not going to say this, but if I was to say what I'm thinking, what I would say is, have you ever read a book on how to kiss your wife? Because if you need to read a book on how to kiss your wife, you need to get saved. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it thank God for your innocence. There's only books for that when you're in a rut.
I don't want to. Do I want to go? Oh, can I?
Can you imagine buying a book? What to do on the first night of your honeymoon? Oh, I need to read this book. What? That's what you call fellowship. That really is fellowship. Don't look at me like that. That's fellowship. That's koinonia. That's partnership. And if you need a book for that, you need to go and join a dead church. Because you'll fit in just fine. All right. Bit much maybe, but it is Sunday. Okay, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It's knowing what to do when you don't know what to do is what fellowship with the Holy Spirit is all about. So we were slaughtered. Our house was wrecked. And then on Wednesday, the vineyard, we used to be a vineyard church, the vineyard pastors came. And we had a dumpster outside the garage and we were just throwing away incredible amount of stuff, as well as ripping out sheetrock and all kinds of stuff. You know, the place was destroyed. Just turn it off a minute, Daniel. Thanks, son. And I've got a friend. In fact, remind me to call him. He has a lung disease that is so bad, a lung condition, that his only hope of living is a transplant. His first wife died of cancer, and even though he's married again and she's been dead a long, long time, he still has a tear in his eye when he talks about it. His daughter died in the World Trade Tower on 9/11. Now, when that guy was picking up one book at a time after the flood, covered in silt, and walking out with just one book, not as big as this, and then tossing it in the dumpster because he wanted to be part of the fellowship of my suffering. Do you know that scripture? He wanted to be part of the fellowship of my suffering. I told him, stop it, sit down. He said, no. And he was the only man I knew in the midst of all of our problems that could look me in the eye and say, Vaughn, I want to tell you something. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You'd have said it to me, I'd have told you to shut up. Because you would have been giving me a scripture. He was fellowshipping with me by the Spirit. Do you see the difference? Do you understand what I'm talking about? The fellowship of the Spirit. Now, I was thinking about this. If somebody's traumatized, there's nothing you can do. You put your arm around them. You cry with them. I ask them, how's your financial situation? Because I want to know. Because that's one thing I can do is I can put my hand in my pocket. I can't comfort, but I can make sure you're not going to be destitute because this has caused you such financial burden that you don't know what to do. So those things, I ask those questions. And my phraseology is a little different, right? I've been around. I'm a big boy now. And I say things like, I never say, if I can do anything, call me. Please don't ever say that to people. I say it the other way around. Call me immediately you need me, any time of day or night. Do you hear me? Your brother-in-law, I heard the water broke. And we all kind of took a breath, you know. Don't say anything. Take a breath. Okay, we've been there before. We walked together with Joshua and Elaine when they went through it. You try and take a breath. Don't say anything negative. And I remember texting, you know, when a man's... anyway, I text Casey and said, call me when you need me. That's an order. He's a military dude. He knew what I meant. Would he call me when he needed me? You better believe he would. Because I didn't say, well, if you need anything, call me. You see, because I've got enough in me and he's got enough in him that we could fellowship in this suffering. He's a good man. He's a strong man. He was an officer in the military of our great nation. And I'm talking, you know what he emailed in the back of his trauma, his pain? Roger that. He was saying, Vaughn, I gotcha. It was, you know, the grunt terminology of men. Because there's no tears at those times that are going to be fruitful. You got to stand. That's what Josh is talking about. You got to stand right there and then. Can you see what I'm saying? And you've got to know by the Spirit when to sit, when to walk, and when to stand. And if you haven't learned to sit with God, like the word was through Annette, if you haven't learned to walk by the Spirit, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons, the reproducers of God. If you haven't learned that, then when it's time to stand, you have nothing to stand on. Are you with me? All right, let's try to wrap this up. Hallelujah. Let's get back to that verse then, Daniel. 2 Corinthians 13:4. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. At least we're part of like a doxology or whatever you want to call it, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. So we're talking about the whole of the deity of God here, right? Oh, love it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Because it was God who loved us so much to give Jesus Christ and that grace. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, communion, fellowship, exactly the same word. Not even similar. Not even close. They are an identical word. Koinonia. Fellowship. Communion. Are you communion? Are you in communion with the Holy Spirit? First thing, you've got to be in fellowship in the Word. If you're not in fellowship in the Word, you cannot be in communion with the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I don't care how much you pray. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective means you know the word. Fervent means you're fervent in spirit. And righteous means you know that you are standing in a good place with God. So you've got to understand this. People who pray and don't know the word, their prayers drive me up the wall. Like the guy in the home group on Wednesday. Anyway, one of the most important things, right? You've got to be in the word. You've got to be in fellowship with people. It's the people who teach you how to fellowship in the spirit. Very few people have ever learned how to fellowship in the spirit individually if they haven't been taught. So one of the most vital, right, you've got to be in the word, you need to be in fellowship with the church so we can take on the principalities and powers, that what used to be called a mystery, but now it's been revealed, we got it. Now, one of the things I'm going to say now is beginning to get used to the flow of the Holy Ghost. Joshua spoke last week. He talks often about wanting to speak to people about the gospel. Hungry people. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it by being led to the Spirit. And he's going to do it that when he's that moment's right, he's going to open his mouth. And the fellowship with the Holy Spirit that he's used to is going to come out and say, woman, go get your husband. Because that's how Jesus did it. He's going to open his mouth and say, oh, I knew you before you were under the tree, Nathaniel. He's going to open his mouth and say, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Do you understand? That is because of fellowship with the Spirit. It isn't because of how many scriptures you know, here or here. It's because of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, if I met somebody who's traumatized and I was to prophesy over them, it would be something like this. The legalist would say to the person, oh, don't worry, brother. All things work together for good for those who love God. The guy's broken. The woman's broken. And the first anointing that Jesus loves, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. You don't heal the brokenhearted with a legalistic scripture. No. So what would I do? I don't know. Let me try it. You'd take a hold of the person that's broken and say, the Lord would say unto thee this day that there are great things ahead of you and the preparation is way beyond your own imagination. But the things that I have in store for you, they are vital and they are awesome. But I am a great God and I will never let go of you. And if you would see indeed the place that I am taking to you to, would you not allow me to embrace you and lift you up? I just said all things work together for good. But I said it by the Spirit. You can see that. I said it by the Spirit. I began to talk of a glorious future. I began to talk, I don't know what it was, everlasting arms, a comfort, a joy. Lift. You get my point? See, that's when you begin to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest with you. There's times when people are just flat out lazy, rebellious. They just need a good old Holy Ghost rebuke. How much longer will I suffer you? For I've spoken to you so many times and I've done glorious things for you. Yet you are still standing in a place where you refuse to do what I've told you to do. But I've got still the blessing for you, my son, that if you lift up your eyes and see that even though you think you have chosen the raw place and you have chosen the desert place, I will take you into a bald place and I will make the roses flourish in the wilderness. I don't know, rebuke the dude, but then afterwards tell him that, you know, God's going to bring him in a broad place if he does as he's told. See, that's fellowshipping with the Spirit. These are things that are important. These are vital. We can do this. We can't do it on Sunday morning. Well, we can. It's difficult. We can do it in the home groups. Monday. Who was there Monday night at Pastor Gary and Susan's house? Remember how when I stepped up and said there's an anointing for visions? Remember that? I remember immediately, boom, everyone starts having visions. Remember that? Right, because I have fellowship with that anointing. So when it was time to fellowship with it and enlarge it, I could begin to help release it. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, okay, let's simplify it now. Where are you? Where are you? Do you speak in tongues? If you don't, my question is very simple. The scripture says, pray in the spirit and pray in your understanding. If you don't speak in tongues, how do you pray in the spirit? How do you pray in the spirit? If you don't speak in tongues, how do you pray in the spirit? The scripture's clear. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us according to the will of God with what? Groanings that cannot be uttered. So it's simple. If you don't pray in the Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, how do you pray in the Spirit? And the other one, which I prefer, is we sing in the Spirit and sing with our understanding. How do you sing in the Spirit? How do you sing? We're not talking about the new song. How do you sing in the Spirit? We're not talking about the prophetic song. No, was it last week when I walked around here with a prophetic song? That wasn't singing in the Spirit. That was a prophetic song. So my question to all of us this morning, when you begin to hear and you've been fellowshipping with the Spirit for many years and you begin to hear that sound which never changes around the world, because you can be talking in Ireland and they can be quoting all kinds of scriptures to you, and all of a sudden they'll sing in the Spirit and it'll sound just like this. Oh, but you could be in Korea. Ah, Kamsamida. And suddenly we all talk and sing in spirit. You can laugh all you like, mate. I've never heard two sounds when people sing in the spirit. Never. Now, if you don't think that's God, if you don't think that is the reverse of the Tower of Babel, then what the heck is? If you don't think God sent a spirit to divide man, but because of redemption through Jesus Christ, he sent a spirit to reunite man. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to challenge all you people who speak in tongues. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, sing in tongues before you get out of bed. I bet you half of you can't do it. You go, Sham. Sham. I'm not a betting man, but I tell you. Can I just pull rank? You know I've preached in over 40 countries. You know I've heard people speak in tongues in 50, 60, 70, 80 languages. Always sounds the same. Convince me I'm wrong. Because I know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Not as much as I should, not as much as maybe I used to, but I know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But before that, there's a fellowship with God the Father that can only come through fellowship with Jesus Christ the Son. Because he is the one with his grace and his Father's love that will give you new life. And that's my question today. Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you a child of God? Are you born of him? Are you born from above? Are you someone that undeniably knows that if you were to die today, and let's face it, there are so many things, so many causes of death today. If you were to die today, are you absolutely 100% totally convinced that you would go to heaven? Let's close our eyes a minute. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. If there's anybody here this morning that you want to know the love of God the Father, but the only way through to that place is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He took your sin and your punishment and your sickness and your poverty, even though we all deserved all of it. So that's my question to you today. If you're here within the sound of my voice, and your question is, Vaughn, help me. I want to be sure that I'm going to go to heaven. Then I'm just going to ask you this morning, just lift your hand in the name of Jesus to make sure there's one hand there. Praise God. Thank you, young lady. Is there any other hand? Is there anybody else where you need to say, Vaughn, I want to be so sure that I'm born again? We want to take another minute because this is the most important time of any day, not just Sunday. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you're not sure, then like this young lady, you raised her hand. Are you going to be, is there another one here this morning that you're going to raise your hand and say, I want to be sure, I want to pray today and be totally, totally at rest on my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. We will pray for you, young lady. But Jesus said, it's better that I go away, that I send another comforter. And when that other comforter came, you know what happened? It says, and when the day of Pentecost has fully come, suddenly there was a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. And it filled the place. And all the people spoke in tongues. So I want to make sure this morning that nobody in this place who's born of God has not yet received the free gift of speaking in tongues. So if you're here this morning, there won't be any embarrassment because we can just do this on one side. Please raise your hand now if you would like to receive the free gift of tongues so you can learn to fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Just come forward as you raise your hand. Anybody else who wants the free gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just come forward now. I know there's a few in here. Just come forward. Hallelujah. I know there's more. Why don't you come? This could be one of the greatest gifts you've received. Hallelujah. This is Labor Day. I don't know why I hate that term. Because there's nothing in God that He wants us to labor for. It's free gifts. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else now? I know there's several here that you need to speak in tongues. You haven't yet. Jesus was the answer to John's prophecy. He said, I will baptize you with water, but there is one who's following me, and he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. That's what we want to do for you. So why don't you come forward? Why don't you come forward? Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. I know there's more. All right, then I'm going to pray for those whose tongue is oxidized and you've got rusty. So come on, I want all you rusty not. I told you about that time the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Vaughn, do you speak in tongues? I said, yes. And He says, do you speak in tongues? So in other words, obviously not enough. Hallelujah. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. So please, those of you that you haven't had your tongue loose in a long time, come up now. I just...